Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
Dirty's Daily is powered by Caitlin Clark and her shoe designer. Have you guys seen the new Caitlin Clark shoes?
Miss that one. That might be the answer to Ron's gym shoes.
You don't like Caitlin Clark or the WNBA, so I wouldn't expect that you know that you've seen their shoes.
I don't think those would be the answers for me in the workout.
It's a basketball shoe. It is a basketball shoe. I need to examine the build of the shoe for you or not. This is genius. So they dropped the shoe. Obviously, Caitlin Clark makes 28 times the money that she makes 28 times the money she makes in the WNBA in with Nike, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I thought her shoe was a good kind of a blank canvas type release, right? You can do a lot with it. It's not the design and the colorways aren't over the top and just like to where, it almost scares folks away. There was nothing like cutting edge. It looks like an everyday shoe that you can wear to work out. You can wear to work. You can wear however. You can wear a hoop in it if you want to, whatever. All right, so good design on that part. Well, they're dropping different colorways, boys. And they've dropped a friendship bracelet colorway. And on this particular colorway, I believe you can put beads on the actual laces, right? And I didn't know how this happened until I just did a little bit of digging before the show, but they somehow got Taylor Swift linked to this shoe. I didn't realize it was Taylor Swift and the Travis Kelce, the whole friendship bracelet thing. That's how Travis got her. I don't know if that is the brains behind this one.
I like that one right there.
Or if it just kind of came together at the end. I got to believe that Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark and friendship bracelet, I got to believe that was part of the deal,
she's
right?
She's a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Well, I got to believe the friendship. I think that had to be part of the plan,
yeah,
right?
She's a huge fan, so I'm going to assume they've been connected.
Ron, I'm going to call it right now. I don't know what the record for...
Oh,
I thought
you had her number.
I'm going to call it right now.
I'll call her. You're going to call her.
I don't know what the record is for a singular shoe sale.
It's got a chance.
I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say that there's more of the friendship bracelet colorway of the Caitlin Clark shoe will be sold than any other shoe ever sold.
Oh, it's Travis then. Should have jumped on this before.
He should have been a part of it. Let me get a cut. Yeah, that'd be great. The Travis Kelce. Nike could have come out with the Travis Kelce with the friendship bracelet laces.
Chuck Taylor's. That's the highest selling tennis shoe in history.
Fair.
To be clear,
my calling it now is like I'm talking about player shoe. I wouldn't think that. I'm not talking about Converse in general or Jordan in general.
She might pass up Cheryl Swoops with this one.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the Kobe's and stuff like that.
I know, but we got to get past the women first.
I wonder what the what one version of the Kobe or one version of the Jordan, probably one of the Jordans because they're still selling them today, right? I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever going to pass a Jordan 1. Hell, I got 14 pair of Jordan 1s in my closet alone.
One is,
and it's been around longer, so she may not catch that one. But this thing's gonna fly off the. I mean, what absolute geniuses making it a shoe that doesn't turn you away by looking at it, and then tying the friendship bracelet and the Taylor Swift angle. They are gonna absolutely fly off the shelf. So Caitlin Clark, Dirty's Daily. It's yours today, girl. It's yours. Appreciate you. We got to talk about these Strohs and what we watched last night. And I think big picture here, Ron, Tyler. Big picture here.
By the way, last night they won today.
We just played. We just played a little music, right?
They won today, 6-2.
The confidence is growing. They're peaking, if you will, at the right moment. Playing great ball late in the season versus some really good opponents after playing terrible ball against the worst our division has to offer, and keeping them even relevant. We've now gone on a run here and just took 3 of 4 from the White Sox, the 2 seed, I believe, or the 2 seed in the American League. Is that right?
Yep.
A really good baseball team. And in doing so, the starting pitching for the Astros right now, Ron, Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, and Hayden Wesneski. All right? I can't believe that we're here. And two of the names we're talking about. Can the Astros make a run with that starting rotation? Can the Astros legitimately make a run with that starting rotation? Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, Hayden Wesneski, and then you can throw whoever you want in there in that four hole. There's plenty of names to pick from. But those three guys being the top three, the key cogs, if you will.
You just probably need three in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, ideally, if they can all go out there and handle business. Hunter Brown, here's the lowdown, if you will. Hunter Brown has been really, really good all year long, right? Early July was rough. He had give up 6 earned against Tampa Bay in a start. He gave up 4 earned against the Baltimore Orioles, I think, 2 starts later, right? So, I mean, he had a little rough stretch right there, but Hunter Brown, I know Ronnie's not going to the 7th inning and not getting the length that you would like to see from the ace. And I agree with that. That it would be ideal if he could get that rolling. But really, as an ace, and for the sake of this conversation, Hunter Brown has been really, really good this season. Peter Lambert, the only knock, the sample size is really good. The only knock or the only concern is, does Peter Lambert lose steam as the season goes along and he starts flirting with or gets into a territory where he's pitched more innings this year than he ever has in a regular season? And if we're being honest, if you look at Peter Lambert right now, in the month of August, it's September 3rd, folks, in the month of August, he went beyond 5 innings one time. We saw some 7s, we saw some 6s. Earlier in the season, yeah. And we saw a good sample size of that kind of pitching. He went beyond 5 innings one time in August. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not ringing the bell here. I'm not telling you we should be concerned. I'm telling you what the concern is, or the talk is that if there's a downfall for Peter Lambert, it's going to come because he's going to run out of steam, right? And if you look at August, there are some signs that would tell you, hey, it's not quite as effective late into ball games as it was the first 3 or 4 months that he was out here doing his thing. Hayden Wesneski, we've talked about him at length, obviously. 7 outings since returning from injury. He had that one rough outing against, I believe it was the Angels on August the 15th. Those three guys right there, with the exception of what I just mentioned, those three guys right there have been really good. Ron, can the Astros make a run, shock some folks, surprise some folks, raise their ceiling, if you will, with those three arms being the key starters in the rotation?
Yeah, I said it earlier this week that I can't believe I'm saying it, but this team absolutely has the ability to make a run based off the field that they're playing against. We just got an example the last 4 days.
Yeah.
This is a team that's the 2 seed currently winning the American League Central, and they waltzed out there and took 3 of 4 from them. They did it with the Yankees. Like, this is a team that has enough when you compare it to the field. This is not, they're not facing, you know, the Yankees in 2019. They're not facing some of these teams that were really, really good, you know, when they've been in the postseason. They're not facing a great Red Sox team. This isn't there's not a great Guardians team that's in the playoffs right now that they're having to deal with. The Tigers, they're not facing that. There is no Scooble that they gotta deal with over there. So they most definitely can't. I think, Clint, it's very important for those guys. But I think we talked about it earlier in the postseason. You know, the leash is a lot quicker right? We were sitting there. We've talked about it a lot of times over the years. Hey, man, Zach Greinke, baby, give us three. Because then, you know, you come in. I think those three guys are important. But then also in this time over the next 20 games or however many are left, Clint, also Blue Ball, Javier, and potentially Blanco, three guys that could be middle guys to get to the back end, they're just as important and vital too. So the combination of those three at the front, because I think right now those three, Wisniewski, Peter Lambert, and obviously Hunter Brown, those are your three guys that you want to start. But
got to have them. I mean, there's.
But we could look at it and you could throw Hunter in the mix. Like, they're not going six all the time, right?
Yeah.
You got to have, and we're talking about how do you get to Abreu and how do you get to Hader and really Hader to that. And the middle to get to those guys, which could be Blue Ball, who has been the best out of the crew in it. And what we saw from Blanco, can Blanco, because Blanco and Javier, yeah, they have experience point. Doing yeah. it. Clint, can you come in the fifth and get two innings to get through the sixth, that then gets you to Abreu and Hader?
Yeah.
Can those three guys get those two guys? It looks like Blue Ball's right. Can they get Javier and Blanco, who have had experience in the playoffs coming in out of the bullpen in those situations, can they get them going too? Because they're going to have guys feed the middle innings, because you just can't assume. You just talked about Peter Lambert. What, he's going more than five, what, once?
Yeah.
You know, and Hayden Wisniewski is not somebody – he went seven last night, but that's not the norm.
Yeah, maybe you don't have the solid, dependable piece to piggyback. Hell, a game four if you had to, but to piggyback any of the starters. But you damn sure have a couple of options that could be absolute nails, right? Not real sure what you're going to get, whether it's because of injury or just sporadic performances this year, but – boy, you've got options that you feel good about. Javier or Ronel Blanco, if you got to go piggyback right now, who you feel most confident in?
I would say Javier. I trust him a little bit more. He's been up a little bit. I mean, Blanco went four innings scoreless baseball. I mean, I ain't going to forget he was pitching in Sugarland for a reason.
Right.
I just hope Mike Burrow is not the guy that they try to sneak into that situation.
Well, you know they like him. We'll see exactly. We'll see. Oh, is he?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We're good. Okay, I didn't know if they started barking a little bit. I didn't know what the final decision was on that. So, okay, so he's off your radar for a while. We'll see.
Right now.
But, yeah, we'll see if the Astros can make a run behind that those starting three arms. It's of late, I'm telling you, it's awfully impressive. Hayden Wisniewski is, and Hunter Brown, both of those two, their most recent outings were absolute nails, even though Show was not impressed with that second inning, I believe it was. From Hunter Brown.
No, I guess nobody should be.
Boys, I got surprised a little bit today. A couple things. Y'all have had y'all's hearts checked? Y'all went to the heart doctor and had your heart examined and getting everything?
Well,
I was forced
into it when I tried to get that root canal and I got.
Oh, is that what you? But I'm talking about go to the heart doctor. I ain't talking about going to your general practice and just getting looked at. I'm talking about thorough.
I got hooked up to a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
EKG. I had a
I figured they would have hooked you up when you had that, when you couldn't figure out what was going on with your heartburn, and they didn't hook you up then either.
Oh, yeah, then.
Well,
that was more recent.
I decided to go. I'm at that age, 48. I needed to go anyway. Was having some couple little issues, so I decided. All right, it's time to get the. It's time to get the old ticker checked out, boys. It's time to get a baseline. I'd never had a baseline, assuming everything was healthy, which is what I was trying to find out. But I'd also never had a baseline, on record to show kind of, am I going up, down? Am I staying the same? What's going on here? And so I've been taking care of that. I know y'all been worried about me, but I'm three appointments in. Everything's good so far. Hadn't got my report back on my echogram, I think is what they called it today. Had to go this morning. But two things. Have y'all had the stress test?
Yes. I have to do it all about every couple of years. Yeah.
What did you, when she told me I had to get my heart rate to 172 on that raggedy ass treadmill they had in there, I thought there ain't no way.
Your eyes widened.
Hey, there ain't no way. I told her, I said, baby, I'm going to have a hard time. I said, can I run? She said, well, if you want to, that stuff stuck all over you. I said, I don't know, without sprinting, I don't think I'm going to be able to get my heart to 172. And she goes, well, if I cut it off, if you stop and I cut it off, then it's no good. We're done. So the competitive side of me comes out. I'm like, I'm getting to 172.
That'll do it.
Damn it. I'm getting to 172. So I get to about 150, and I'm talking. I'm walking as fast as I can uphill.
I was about to say, do you have a decline or incline?
Oh, it's inclined. Yeah, it's the incline's. I mean, like, it ain't no just two or three neither. It's inclined up there now. And I'm talking, I'm walking as fast as I can without tripping on this thing. And I said, my heart ain't going to move no higher than what it is right now, what we're doing. So I said, I'm going to jog a little bit. So I started jogging. I get that thing up to 160 and she hit stop. I thought I failed the damn test. I said, what are we doing? I was trying to get to 172. It's what you told me to get to. She said, oh, no, that's good enough. She said, you passed all the tests. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
She tricked you.
She said, you passed all them tests. I said, by the way, I need to get my blood panels that I had done. I need to get them sent to y'all. She said, y'all can fax them over. 21 years old, knew what a fax machine was. 21 said fax.
I know my nephews and nieces don't know what a fax machine is.
I wonder, do my kids know? I wonder, does Trey know what a fax machine is?
Oh, you know, I asked her, Ron. You know, I'm old curious. I said, how old are you? She said, 21. I said, how the hell you know what a fax machine is? She said, I didn't until I started working here.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't.
I said, well, I'm going to tell you what.
It's got to be a part of her daily use.
Yeah, that's the only, like, they. I don't know why they, I guess they still fax things over for security purposes, I guess. But I said, nah, I said, hell, I'll just drop the old panels by. I got the results. So, but your boy made it, man. 160. I got to 160. She told me
what
I
do you think you would have had to do to get to that 170?
Continue to jog up that damn hill. I would have got there eventually. I don't know if I'd have made it though. It was getting a little dicey. It was getting a little dicey. I was starting to breathe hard a little bit. So, but yeah, man, I made it. I got it all done. I got to get my, what do they call it? My calcium test done. Got to get that done next week. And then we'll be all done.
There you go, man. Way to take care of yourself.
Yeah, man. I'm on it, bum. I'm on it. Got some other things I need to follow up on.
I generally do it when I'm forced to, which is probably not good.
Well, you need to. You need to get a good baseline. Say, all these tests, you need to go get them run. Ain't going to cost you much, Ron. It's not going to cost you much. Your insurance. We got good insurance here. Ain't going to cost you much, but it's going to be worth it. You got to get a baseline so if anything happens, they know what happened here. You go back next month, they catch something that's going the wrong direction before you get 5 years down the road and – something bad's happened. You know what I mean? Get that done.
I got it in. They ran a whole bunch of tests. All right, coming up, Amen Thompson. He got the bag, folks. He got paid $208 million. The Rockets broke him off. Any problem with it? Any problem with the Houston Rockets investing that type of money in years? 5 years, $208 million in Amen Thompson. We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live on The Drive. The Astros get a dub today if you missed it. They win 6-2, take 3 out of 4 from the Chicago White Sox. Currently, they have a 2.5-game lead in the West. The Rangers, they will take on the Tampa Bay Rays. They're starting a 4-game series with Tampa Bay, the number one seed team with the best record in the American League. So we'll see how that rolls.
Well, Astros won today.
And with that, Clint.
They did, Mom. They did.
And with that, Linda, they are now 1.5 games behind the White Sox for the number two seed in the American League. What comes with the number two seed? That means you get a bye. You don't have to play during the wild card round, that 3-game series. You don't have to play in it. You sit, rest, get to put your pitching rotation the way you want to put it, and wait for your next opponent. So that is where the Astros stand right now. All right, boy, man, they probably should look at that color, Chase. Chase Daniel went with, boy, he is sweating through that sucker in Atlanta. My goodness.
Yeah, he's sweating through it. But he is hyped for this college season, ain't he?
Oh, yeah, man. He should be.
He's going to be good. I followed him a long time before he got on ESPN, obviously.
Chase Daniel, we're talking about he's going to call the Colorado-Georgia Tech game tonight.
Yeah, man. That fade is always super tight, man. The beard's always trimmed up. And
like Tyler to take a look.
I
want you to fade that sucker in like that, Tyler, man. And I love your beard. I just think there's
apparently
another
not.
Level. Just let me take you to B. Let's go to
that. That is a.
He will have that thing.
The trim up around the lips is
sexy.
The trim up around the lips is
I'm faded as hell.
Is
right
good,
now.
Solid.
I think Megan would start to entertain some things that maybe she didn't entertain before.
There's more to do.
If you get that beard, you get that beard right.
I was over here feeling like it was. Semi right,
it's all right.
I'll go back to the drawing board.
It's right,
But I mean, there's the next level. Right? It's right. Like, right now.
Move the mic, T. Let me see.
Right? Like, right now, you're Shania Twain. You got a chance to be Dolly.
There's a lot to unpack there.
I like what you did. I disagree.
I mean, I know I don't maintain it day to day, week to week, like as best I could. But when I come out of the barber, I think it looks great.
No, it does.
Move the mic, T. Let me see one more
Shania
time.
Shania Twain, like you are a legendary legend right there with.
I mean, it's all really time. Getting some length to it, isn't it?
It is. I love the length. Fade that puppy down. Let that thing fade on in down, and get it around the mustache. Get that thing lined up tight.
I got
the way
you.
Chase Daniel has. Whoa.
I'm going to bring a picture of Chase to my barber when I go. And I'm going to say this
That's
right here.
Option.
I want to walk out of here like this.
That's a nice. I just tell you, B don't need a picture. Gotcha. That's what I said. Gotcha.
Yeah, you don't fade yours at all, do you? Or I guess you do a little bit
at
the top.
She's been doing it a little bit. Very, very small amount of fading going on.
That's all right. Yeah, man, you do yours. But I don't want to force it on you. I'm just.
No, I love the thought.
This could be
Dolly. Always want to be better.
Could be Reba. All right. As we said, it's 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Amen Thompson, 5 years, $208 million is what the Rockets paid him now. They've locked him up. They've locked him. They've locked Jabari Smith. They've locked Alperen Şengün. They've locked Tari Eason up. They've locked all those guys up, not to mention KD and Fred are in the fold. Is this a... This is a good move, is what I said, and I think it is, Clint. This is, as Sham says in his report, an ascending player that can play multiple positions. He's a unique player, and a unique player, Clint, that I don't think I don't even know if we're near seeing the best that he can be. But in the time that he has been here, he has improved every year. He started out at scoring around 9 a game, and now he is at 18-plus. 5 assists a game. Now, actually, you almost hope that maybe takes a hit next year because he's not, the facilitator with Fred there. But he's improved that part of his game to be a playmaker. We know the defensive stuff. He is already elite when it comes to anything defensively, and he's a unique weapon on that side of the ball that I still don't think they've used to his potential. So I understand the money sounds large. Now, the money in the NBA is large, right? I like the move forward. You drafted him. He's arguably the best guy you've drafted out of these young guys, and there is still growth. And the thing about it, you can see in his game, even though the shooting has not gotten to where it needs to be, but this is a guy that you can see is working on his game. He's coming back and clearly showing improvements every year. Despite maybe not being in a situation where he is really in a great spot to be developed with what's around him from a coaching perspective. But you can see this is not a guy that to me is going to get this money and not try to continue to be better.
Now, look, here's the thing with Amen Thompson. Look, he deserves it. He's a grinder. He works hard. He's obviously very coachable. He does everything he's asked to do. He's exactly what the head coach of the Rockets wants the identity of his team to be. And so, fine, that's fine. He's earned whatever money it is that – whatever contract it is that he's given. So I'm good with that. Here's the deal, though. For the Rockets, the only way this pays off – right, or let's say that there's two ways that this pays off. One, the shot doctor that they got over there, all of a sudden his shot gets better, and I don't even give a damn what the percentages are right now. I'm just talking about when I'll turn the TV on and watch the Rockets, I want to see a guy that shoots the ball confidently, and the defense at least has to respect that he might knock it down. Right, like right now, defense is completely disregarded.
A couple of years away from that.
Yeah, that's fine. But even just working towards that, right? So that's one thing, one of two things, one or the other. They don't both have to happen, but one or the other. Like he has to become a much better shooter, or schematically, Ime Udoka and company have to figure out a role for him. With everybody healthy, they have to figure out a role for him where they put him in position to do all the things that you just mentioned that he does so explosively and differently and uniquely and all this, the skill set. Use the skill set and he become great and spend the majority of his time doing those things instead of just being a jack of all trades, right? Going out there and just showing, sure, he's going to go get 18. I mean, he's going to get 18 because he grinds and he hustles and he gets to the rack, right? But at what point does he settle into, this is the role, this is what the Rockets need you to do, and now go do it better than anybody in the NBA does it? I do think he has that ability. Yeah. I don't know that Ime Udoka and company have the structure to make it happen, but one of those two things has that for this contract to make sense, right? For the Rockets, he's either got to become a better shooter or they've got to find a role for him where you go out and you ask him to do what he already does great more often, and that's all he focuses on doing. One of those two things has to happen for this to make sense.
Yeah, and I think he is, as you said, a grinder. So I think he is going to put in the work to become a better shooter. Like, listen, he's not going to be a great shooter, right? Like, Giannis has never become a great shooter, right? Like there are guys that aren't great shooters, but as you said, Giannis still has been able to perfect and find a way to use his game that he's best at. And I think there is still a point to do that. They've got to find a way to put parts around him also so he can play the game that he can play the best. But this kid is 23 and won't turn 24 until January. And this is a guy who is all defensive already, has finished in the top eight is the last two seasons as defensive player of the year, all while improving in his points, right? Like, this is like he is a Draymond Green level great defender. Draymond's never come close to averaging 18 points, right? Like, he is that level. You got to figure that out. And not even mention he's the athlete. Draymond's never been the athlete that he has ever been. Now we talk about Draymond. I don't know about the basketball IQ. I'm not saying that Amen is dumb. Basketball IQ is real low. I'm saying Draymond's a nutcase, but his basketball IQ is extremely high. He's one of the smartest basketball players in the league, right? And his ability to pass and all that. But you've got to figure this out with him. You don't just move off of this. You got to figure this out with him. But boy, that 208, boy. It's big, and it's really big just because they've just gone and locked all of these young dudes. Mm-hmm. Right. They're saying this is our group. So congratulations to Amen Thompson, a deal that makes a lot of sense all the way around. All right, Clint. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, former Texan. We've heard about him talk about the Texans. He's with the Bills. You got to hear what he had to say about a particular part of his Bills defense, because I think this is something early on as we get ready for that matchup, we got to look at. We'll discuss that.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Clint. Next week, we get in here on Monday, or Tuesday, excuse me, it's Labor Day, isn't it? We get in here on Tuesday, fellas. Game week. It's game week. The Texans will be getting ready to take on the Buffalo Bills. Hell, maybe their toughest, at least one of their top three toughest games of the season. The Bills, who are second behind the Rams when it comes to Super Bowl MVP odds on DraftKings.
Let's get it on, baby.
They come into town, and they have had great success the last couple of years against them, winning with Davis Mills once as the quarterback, winning with C.J. Stroud. Both of those times they gave Josh Allen two of his worst games they've played. But I think a big matchup that we're going to be talking about and looking at, and I think where the game may be determined, is up front. And many people think it will be up front with Buffalo trying to be able to handle the Texans' pass rush, which I think is obviously going to be a big part too. But also on the other side, Clint, is going to be the Texans' offensive line and their ability to be able to run the football the way they want to run the football, Clint, and then be able to pass the ball off of their run game the way they want to. Can they protect? Can they run the football? Those were obvious issues depending on what you look at, they were rated in the 30s last year in both running and pass blocking, according to some places when it comes to their offensive line. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, former Texan. He is now with the Bills. He will come in here on Sunday, coming up week one. This was his thoughts, his conversation about what he is seeing every day in practice with his defensive line.
I don't want to put no bulletin board material up there, but they like the line I played in the Super Bowl. I got guys up front. Man, I don't got just names. I got guys up front. So I'm drafted guys, T.J. Parker, Zane, Penn State, correct? Like, we got named guys that actually can make plays, so we're not just depending on one person. Doesn't make it easy as a D-line. We got a plethora of guys that you just go out there, rotate, and keep them fresh. And Chubb got them going the right. Hey, Chubb! Pluto! Deuce! You know, that's my guy. With that guy right there leading the charge, I feel comfortable in Ed. So I forgot about my workhorse. I forgot about Ed. Those two itself alone is just going to dominate. And just wait to see them go.
All right, there is C.J. Gardner-Johnson talking about his defensive line. And listen, I'll be honest with you, the Bills defensive line throughout the last year and throughout the years, they have sucked. That has been a weak part of their team. And last year it was just, it was even worse. Now, Clint, I don't know if they're rolling out there with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith and who was that? Milton Williams, who was on that team that they went to the Super Bowl with the Eagles that he was referencing. Josh Sweat, I believe, was on that team. I don't know that they're rolling in like that, Clint, at all. We'll have to see that. But last couple of years, last year specifically, they were one of the worst teams in terms of stopping the run and one of the worst teams in terms of rushing the passer. So they were rough. They were as bad as the Texans' offensive line was and those things as their defensive line was. They've got some guys there, Ed Oliver, who he talked about, Bradley Chubb. Those are the name ones you know. Greg Rousseau, another one, 7 sacks off the edge. T.J. Sanders, a young player they drafted. T.J. Parker in the second round from Clemson. So they've got some new additions to this group, Clint. But I think a big deal is to see how this offensive line handles a defensive line like this. Because I wouldn't look at this, Clint, and think this is a like great defense. This ain't the Rams. This ain't the Texans, right? This ain't Denver. They're going to face some tougher defensive lines. And I'm interested, what do you expect to see? What should you be seeing from our offensive line that the Texans are bringing to the table? What should you be seeing from them against this level of a defense?
Look, I think solid across the board. I think solid across the board. And when I say that, I'm talking we ought to run the football well and protect in a solid manner, right? I mean, I don't expect Keelan Rutledge to be perfect. I don't expect Ed Ingram to be perfect. I don't expect Evan Brown. Notice I'm mentioning the interior guys, right? I don't expect those three interior guys to be perfect, against this defense. Ed Oliver's going to be a problem. Ed Oliver's probably going to win a few battles inside. Maybe he wins several, right? But if it becomes an absolute scramble inside and just chaos inside because there's a duck, whether it's Ingram, Brown, or Keelan Rutledge, and they're dialed in and getting the matchups they like inside in passing situations, then we could have a major problem, right? Again, the Texans, you hope, can run the football well enough to stay out of the third and mid, third to long situations, at least don't live in them to where the defense has a huge advantage. But the concern for me is in pass protection on the inside of the offensive line and particularly at the guard positions. I think Buffalo does have guys that they can get matchups inside and can be a matchup problem if we do indeed have a duck, right? And so when you look at Keelan Rutledge, what is the concern? Pass protection. When you look at Ed Ingram, what is the concern? Pass protection, right? And there's no quicker way for a defense to really cause problems for an offense than to have penetration, interior, in the A gaps, over the guard positions, whether we're talking about the run game or we're talking about a pocket for a quarterback to comfortably pass from. That interior pressure is a major problem. And I think the biggest unknown, if you will. I'm not going to call it a concern, but the biggest unknown that we have for the Texans offensively is, can we protect inside out? Can we protect guard, center, guard with C.J. Stroud? Can we protect in the moments, into half, into game? You know you got to throw the football. You got to get in field goal range. Maybe I've scored a touchdown. Can we protect in those moments, right? I mean, good Lord, I hope we can protect if we're running it well and we're running play action, quick token fakes, maybe long max protecting type situations. Good Lord, I hope we can protect in those moments. Can you protect in the pockets of the game when everybody knows you're going to pass it? The game is dictating that. The situation is dictating that. Can you hold your own at right guard and left guard? That's going to be the key.
Because, see, I look at this Buffalo team, and again, to me, Ed Oliver, is the only one where you look at and you're like, he could get away from you. You know, he could get a matchup with any of those three interior linemen, and if they blitz and set up one-on-ones, that could be a problem. You got a rookie who has never played in the NFL. You've got a center who has really been a kind of a backup level type center. And then you have Ed Ingram, who we know his weakness is pass protection. He is the only one to me that can get away. Like, Bradley Chubb is not the Bradley Chubb that was the one in Denver that was great. Greg Rousseau, a solid guy, but not a great pass rusher. I feel like the hope is that this group is able to handle that group, because they got some other groups, Clint. They got to run into.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm like, when they play the Giants, that's probably not the name that the team that you immediately think of. You start thinking about them Jokers. They keep drafting guys in the top five that are pass rushers. They got Burns. They've got about three or four guys. You start looking. Right after that, if Ed Oliver gets away from you, you got Dexter Lawrence next week, you know, and then if he gets away from him, you got DeForest Buckner, you know, the next week. I mean, he's getting older, but he doesn't suck. And then you Quinnen Williams and Von Miller and some of the guys that the Cowboys have as well. Jeffrey Simmons after that. So it is there are some groups that they will have to face that bring more to the table up front. I feel like they should be able to They should be able to handle this. If they aren't in pass protection, Clint, I think there is something a little more to watch.
Yep.
If the Bills get away from them in terms of rushing the passer and stopping the run. All right, 5 o'clock fire as we continue. The Astros got a big dub. We'll let you know what happened in that game and get you ready for their next series against the Diamondbacks. The Rockets, they gave them in Thompson big money. And the SEC ain't playing with LSU. We'll let you hear all of that, discussing that as we continue right here live.